The topic of the forum is open-ended. If I were the Holden director, and basically an open invitation for you to think broadly about the ministry of the village, to think about the practical aspects of the village that you've encountered during the time of your stay here, to think about both the past and the future needs of the church, and how Holden might be of assistance in that, and then to just simply share with us and with one another your dreams for this place. My name is Martin Wells. I'm one of the new director team. We haven't quite decided what to call ourselves yet. It won't do to try and identify what may be these next 5 years the way we've identified seasons in the life of the village in the past by the last name of the director, the Schramm years or the Hinderle years. You can't say Briel Grant Wells years, I don't think, with any ease. So if you come up, we'll have to have a contest at some point to come up with an easy way. The Trinity has been tried and doesn't work. The Triune Ones is a little officious, we thought. I thought we might just, my idea was that it'd be, we just call ourselves Direct Three. But we'll have to turn Holden's ingenuity to it. And maybe it won't turn out to be important at all because nobody will remember anything about these years. Susan and I come from Pacific Lutheran University, where we've just finished 8 years in campus ministry there. They were wonderful years. We worked each two-thirds time in those positions, along with a third partner, Daniel Erlander, who's a great old friend of Holden. And we miss Daniel during this week, especially because we know he's just bound up in knots with the start of school and all that that requires. Before the 8 years in campus ministry, Susan and I shared one full-time pastor position at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Bellingham, Washington. And that was our first ministry since graduating from seminary at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California. We first came to the village in the summers of 1980 and 1981 and worked on Maverick Cruise and in the tape library and as bus drivers. So we've understood the village from that viewpoint. We are, I suppose, everyone's first time in the village, or the early times in the village are perhaps those most influential. For us, that was the John and Mary Schramm years. And we were both taken with the complexity of the social justice issues that were being addressed during those years, and heartened by the vision and the hope that that was part of the village during those years. So those are our earliest memories of this place, at least I'll speak for myself. So that's who I am. Jen?
I'm Janet Grant, and I come to Holden this time, having spent the last 10 years in Minneapolis. I did a number of things during that time, most recently though, helping to manage a small bookstore restaurant in Minneapolis called St. Martin's School, which was dreamed of over in Shelley for here at Holden. I had lived here for 3 years in the early 80s as registrar and doing a number of other things during, again, John and Mary Schramm's time. And I have worked in the last 10 years with a community called the Community of St. Martin in Minneapolis, which was an outgrowth from Holden. And during those times, worked closely in different sorts of team work with John and Mary Schramm and others as well. So I met Susan and Martin here in the summer of 1980. I was a Maverick alongside Martin, and he introduced me to his new spouse of less than a year. And so we have been good friends for 14 years and have kind of spent 14 years trying to figure out where it was that we would be doing something together at some point and who we are. So that's a little bit of who I am and where I come from.
Actually, my first visit to the village was before I met Martin, and I hiked in with another guy whom he's never met, whose name was Wesley. And Wes and I were in graduate school together in English at Washington State University, and these were during the Hinderly years. So my first experience predates Martin's, and I won't say much more about that. except that it was that hike in and camping out at the baseball field that gave me a picture in my brain when Martin and I were looking for something to do before our last year of seminary. We didn't have to pay rent or buy food or live with my parents. More options. This looked good. So after we left here, after we graduated from seminary, we did have to move in with my parents for a while, so until we got a call. And our other connections with the place, one thing I was going to say about the Hinderly years that I just loved, and I think it's been carried through and I hope remains strong, is that this has always been a place interested in poetry and literature and theater and the arts. And those are my first loves, I think, and I hope that continues to flourish here. A sense of joy and creativity that comes out of our connection with the gospel. Freedom to be creative because we're free from some other binding things because of Christ Jesus. And then we introduced our girls, Mary Emily and Magdalena, to the place. And we came up, I don't know, 4 or 5 winters to run a retreat at Thanksgiving time, hoping individuals and families prepare for Christmas in a way that could disengage a little bit from the materialism of the cultural celebration around that time.
That's a little bit about us, and we're open for your questions and a conversation
comments
about your hopes and dreams for the village. What you would do if you were the director.
You're about to speak. Are you about to speak?
I'm just clearing my throat.
Oh.
Still cold down there.
Oh.
I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
Although I do think the village needs to decide whether it wants to be a center for the study of social issues or whether it wants to be a true retreat center. And as I see it, as a retreat center, we should be affirmed and strengthened in the gospel and leave the village with a new strength to minister out there on the plains of dirt. And maybe go up with a lighter load than we came in, take it on a heavier one.
The word I like even more than retreat is renewal. This would be a place of renewal for individuals and families and parishes and in some way for the whole church. A place to step out of the busyness of our lives in order to hear with new ears maybe the same word that's spoken week by week in your local congregation, but you can't hear it as clearly for some reason. And to be, as you said, strengthened and renewed for the work of service in the world, which includes seeking justice and peace.
Yes, I think there needs to be a balance. But I think the gospel needs to be kept central. We need to hear it. I know I was so affirmed during the Hinderly years that, you know, I could finally thank God for just myself. God loved me really, truly. He accepted me more readily than I could accept myself. And he affirmed me as a child and heir and, you know, all the things that were heaped upon the prodigal son are ours. And whatever else Hinderly did, he really proclaimed the gospel. To me, it is the heart of a retreat or the
I'll jump in. My name's Tara Sita, and I've never been to Holden before.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I've been here. We were just saying.
I really botched your name the other day.
Oh, that's
Tara right. Sita.
Yeah. No problem.
Does it mean a little Teresa?
It does. From the Spanish connection. My experience with community has been limited to a Young Lives program up in Canada, Malibu, and beyond Malibu, Sam. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been there. But I want to say, just first off, my comments are sort of based on what I've seen happen in that setting and what I've seen just the last 24 hours here and what I've seen work well there, that I thought, oh, how could you make that happen here? And then I go back and question whether or not we should even try, because I'm not that familiar with the goal of this community. The differences from the outset being that they're geared towards serving campers and communicating the gospel to a group of kids that otherwise may not hear it. And their work crew, their summer staff, and everybody are geared towards serving the campers. And yet, I find a real sense of community happening amongst the work staff that, in my short experience here, I find lacking already. And so I was trying to think, what are the structures that are in place there that maybe out here that could be adopted? So I put my comments with that. I've been making lists in my head the last 2 days, and that was pretty out there. I guess in terms of Holden's mission statement, I don't have a sense that the staff is being renewed. I mean, maybe the guests are, but right now, especially obviously coming at the end of the summer, there's a lot of transition. People are stretched and they're understaffed. so that I've just seen that as a reality. And some of the things in terms of, I guess it's programmatic, would be maybe bringing on teams, recruiting teams, as or recruiting staff as a team, and having them work for a limited chunk of time, rather than coming in scattered sections, so that they really develop a team mentality. And I don't know if it goes against the Holden's mission statement, but to focus on serving the guests and have that be sort of a gift that you can return to Holden, because you've been here as a camper or a guest before, that you want to see other people have that opportunity to be renewed and really have the guests be the focus. I know it's a tension even printed in the back of the book, that between long-term staffers and short-term staffers and the guests. And I was just trying to think creatively of ways you could bridge that gap. If you came with a team, if there were work staff or work crew specific to age groups, like high schoolers or college people or adults maybe, that might instill some pride in how the camp looks and the nature of the work that they're doing. And then you could also have team coordinators or work crew staff directors who are there nurturing the staff at the same time, paying attention to how they were doing. Other problematic things that came to mind, I felt maybe the welcome was less than enthusiastic, but that may be that I'm used to the hype of Malibu. So it is a much more slower paced entry. But I felt it was almost even cold when I faced some of the staff that had been here for a while. I mean, just even trying to spark conversation, or, hi, how are you, what's your name, what do you do? It was like really cold stairs. And I just want to share that constructively. I understand where they're at, but to kind of see that happen. So limiting, I guess even limiting the time that people serve, I don't know if that would change, like a summer in 3 6-week sessions or something that I felt. Programmatically, I don't know how it fits with Holden, but the reading of canned prayers before meals, I found almost too rote. It came over my phone the other day, and it was really short, and I just almost found it offensive. I thought it would be better just to have a moment of silence or something. And yet I understand that in a community where people are coming from different paths, maybe a prayer or statement like that is appropriate. So. I guess in that whole recruitment process, recruiting more people of color or people from different ethnic groups, I've been impressed with the theme of the last summer being weaving the world together, and yet I see a very white community talking about these, and I would love to have that input in the community to see that happen. And programmatically, I think the hiking program has tons of potential to be able to spin off spiritual applications of climbing the mountains, either on an individual basis or as groups, to take groups out into the mountains and to learn what it means to work as a body, and maybe doing a peak or doing something a little more technically oriented. I don't know what the glaciers are like around here, but venturing around the glacier. And then this is the day that I've spent in the dining room and the kitchen. And I've seen some of the comments that came to mind, and I looked at the reconstruction plans or the renovation, and a lot of it answers a lot of my concerns. Part of which was getting the garbage sort of out of the dining area and separating the noise and the smell and the whole nine yards. Again, I'm used to a situation where we're serving campers, and so we have a wait staff where guests stay seated at the tables, and the waitress people or the waiters and waitresses clear the tables. I found that clamor at the end of the meal really distracting. The silverware on the tables, the dirty and all, pretty gross. I mean, it just takes my appetite away. And I was thinking maybe a wait staff as such, if you were to recruit extra people, it might be a neat way to run the dining room. It may run in the sense of community and making everybody aware that they pitch in and, you know, take care of their own garbage and the rest. I would spend this winter, or maybe after it's renovated, a chunk of time just cleaning the kitchen and the dining area, and just real attention to detail. Even if it means investing in like new plastic bins and things where you put silverware, it's just everything seems grungy to me. And I just have my hands in it. Easy touches that I think might spice up the dining room, like tablecloths or cloth napkins. I don't know if that's environmentally more safe in terms of doing laundry more or cleaning tables more often, but nicer touches in the dining room, I thought. I think the reconstruction of the kitchen will reorganize the floor of work. That was really completely new with the walk-in. Although when I looked at the plans, the walk-in door and the office door, I don't know how that'll work. That workspace right there, but that was a place of congestion today. Two other thoughts. One would be, I think the setting is gorgeous, and you could enhance the actual structures by doing something with the windows where we could see the mountains that we're surrounded by on the inside. I don't know if that's doable, but I find when I'm in the buildings, I'm really separate from the beauty we're surrounded by, and it'd be nice to have that visible more often. And I don't know if it's doable, but insulating the generator or the hydroelectric to avoid the sun from coming. So, I have a couple more, sorry. One is song D1, probably should come off the jukebox in the pool hall.
D1, I've been trying to figure out what number it was.
Straight Shooter. And I like the idea of the St. Martin's table and just more spin-offs in the village. That's been a dream of mine, to start a cafe bookstore. I think the more that can happen here would be journeying through, then have a piece that you don't need to necessarily come to Holden, but have sort of a Holden ability to exchange ideas and thoughts and things outside of the village for people.
Get those all down.
I have the D1 part. I've been looking for that. I've been looking for that D1 part.
Yeah.
This is the record you got off.
Well, I think it's imperfect. I mean, kids will probably miss it, but I'm finding I'm getting old.
It's misnamed.
Most of the time, the jukebox isn't working.
Well, are you ready for another one?
Sure.
I'm afraid it isn't going to sound like where you want to go. It's going to sound like where you've gone. And I'm glad she started instead of us starting, because we're echoing anything that she has come up with in a short time here. This is our fifth visit. We came starting in the WIP years, and Haskell. Never did learn how to say the name, how it got, but so we have a little bit to compare it with. This is our second time at this time of year, didn't get winding down. But starting with a welcome, it's, I thought we all used to stand as a group and be welcomed. And it seemed much more like we were welcomed. And now I know we stand up and sit down up there, and some people tonight were given a distance. We're talking about standing up. Starting with that, it doesn't seem like you're acknowledging, I'm you because you're the director, but whoever does this type of thing, you're acknowledging the guest. It's kind of like stand up and all be recognized to go, but don't all be recognized to come. And I think that starts your visit, the whole thing, is how you receive. The bus driver was very genial, and I appreciate the conversation we had with him. I remember a couple of times in the bus ride, we've had very good folks bring us out and do this, and it's been a good mindset. And that, too, is an introduction. But this time, we have been reading the application, and we've been trying to figure out, is there some way we can come up here and contribute to the community in some meaningful way? So in the back of our mind is this type of a thing. But even though we've met more staff this time and had some excellent conversations, we've also sensed there's something wrong. There's some underlying thing wrong here in this community. We've had occasions at the table where staff heat their plates and ate all the orange slices. I mean, this might be a minor thing, but it's staff that you're seeing. And the application clearly says that staff's supposed to talk to folks and try to make it. They are amongst themselves. We've had simple little things like whispering, private little conversations that probably innocent, but what image do they get? It seems like the staff, now this isn't the first time that you've ever had fall season, obviously. So you're winding down, you can appreciate you're winding down, but that doesn't mean everybody collapses and acts like, yes, I'm important. And then there's little things going on. It's like the snack bar. I'm tired of being scolded in the snack bar, but whatever the problem is in that snack bar, it isn't the people that are buying ice cream. There's a problem that I can see. If you need volunteers for that kind of thing, if that's the issue, put a note right out there on the board and says, due to the time of season and the lack of volunteers, we could use some help. I go in there. My problem is I don't need that much ice cream, but I go in there and I don't even eat my product. Or little things, if as guests and as returning guests, we'd be willing to help out. But not just because somebody's grumbling. I'm going to shut this snack bar. I don't know if that's the case. If you have any soda pop, I ordered it 2 months ago and hasn't come, it's out of my hands. Well, that doesn't help. You know, that's not a good reason to hold. You go away with those kind of things. It's just, there's a sense here that something is amiss. And that, you know, bothers me because the application clearly states you need to be able to fit in as a member of the community, you need to relay to the people that are here, you need to converse with them. You know, I asked somebody a question. I heard him make a statement earlier, I asked him a question, and he said, if you want to know that answer, talk to the registrar. If they had made the statement earlier in the day, that's why I wanted to hear what it was. Why is that going on? These people aren't new. This isn't new to this. And my impression from all this would immediately be that we have a disgruntled staff. And that may be my impression, but I don't know. And they haven't been treated very well, by wonderful. And then even the little thing in the dining hall, the little crazy songs we sang, the prayers who probably were getting outdated. We don't have anything now. We have that little token prayer that if you're lucky you hear it, you can quick enough. But those little songs we used to sing, whether it was old, whatever it was, you know, people kind of got rid of and got things stirred up. It's not like we're against change or you're stuck in the past, but if you're taking something away, what are you replacing it with? We've been talking about this for a couple of days.
I heard a good suggestion, not my idea, but I thought it might be a really good idea to have one of the staff people be a counselor and have that counselor not only available to volunteers that are here, but also to guests. Because we were commenting on the fact that they're like, sort of being out of the mainstream and having some time to relax and sort of you feel like you are communing with nature. And I always look closer to my spiritual self when I'm here. And I thought sometimes that could bring out some issues that you've been working on in your own personal life or in your career or whatever. And it would be just wonderful to know that from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. or whatever, 6 hours a day, there was a counselor's office that was really comfortable and, you know, that you could just make an appointment. And it could be a conflict resolution thing for staff people. I just thought it was a great idea, and this is from somebody who's not here because she has no thing she needs to do, but it's the first time I'm holding it. And it just stuck out in her mind. I could see that as being a little, something you guys could start, and it would really be a long-lasting... We've known long-term staff people that have been up here, and there are times when it gets really rough. And I think that had there been a total separate counselor-type person with a counselor mentality and the ability to be totally private in what you say and know it's time to go any further and all the things that go with being a counselor would just be an invaluable contribution. And I think that there are enough people in that field that it wouldn't be difficult to be a volunteer.
In your mind, is that somebody different than the village pastor?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think they're two separate sorts of careers. I don't see them as the same. And I don't see the village pastor as having an office and the door open, you know, where you absolutely know where to go from a certain time to a certain time with a special area where you could go. And it was just highly publicized. But, I mean, I know you could go find him and you could talk to him, and I'm sure he'd be wonderful. But I don't, maybe it could be one and the same, but I think it would have to be a totally different way of that. I think he would need to be available, or she would need to be available as a counselor. I thought it was a good idea.
There is a different approach to that. When I first came here, I had completed a year of training in pastoral counseling and care, and I thought about coming to Holden and being a counselor, and also suggested that we start to take ministry by using cassettes. And the response at the time was that we did not want a counselor as such, because the whole village was to be a healing, helping community. There should be a lot of people around to whom you could talk and share and be helped. So, and who would want to be known as the counselor for the village?
I think it's unrealistic to think that I could just walk up to you and say, Jeff, I've got this thing that's really been bothering me for 12 years of my life. You know, how would you like to help me with it?
Yeah.
I think we can support each other, and I think we can be friendly to each other and loving and all those things. But I think that a professional, I don't know. I just thought she had a good point.
I'm suggesting using a little thinking, I guess. I do know of a couple of women who went down the road together, one who had really had a hurting relationships, and she shared it.
Sure. I don't think that would take the place of that kind of interaction. I wouldn't.
Yeah. I'd also like to suggest that the emphasis of the village needs to be constantly directed toward those who are here. And I've sometimes had the feeling that we're more interested in what's happening in South Africa, and used to be Central America, and the inner cities, and the way over there, and missing many people who are hurting right in the village.
Yeah.
need sessions that help with this, directed toward this need, you know. We've had some really good psychologists in the village, and we have focused on dealing with our emotional problems.
Yeah, part of that, I struggle not to get defensive and to listen, even though I know last week there was a fellow here who did three weeks worth of sessions on depression and other things, and elicited all kinds of need for counseling, which was provided during the course of the teaching sessions. It came out.
Yeah.
And so there's this sort of struggle between what's happening during the 5 days of experience for one person and what just finished, and you can't quite explain how that all happened, but it did.
And it,
you know, it but it, this teacher, I mean, after a couple of sessions, came to us and said, I realized that I should not be doing these sessions unless I have someone available who will take the hurt that bubbles to the surface in the course. So that was provided, and it was, like you say, I think very, very helpful to some people who suddenly found an opportunity to deal with issues that came out in this place.
I'm sorry, can you back up for me then? Is that the purpose of the village to administer to people that have a problem, or is it a sort of a retreat? I asked this in...
That's a real good question. My fear about having a full-time counselor on staff available from 8 to 4 is that the place would become to be seen as a therapeutic community, which it cannot be. People come for a week, and it can be a place. This man, who was a pastoral counselor, was on teaching staff for a couple of weeks, and he talked about depression, living with people with depression, and different kinds of things that happen in our lives, in our psychological lives. And I ended up doing hours of what I would call pastoral counseling with people. But I was also real aware that these were folks who needed to get connected to people in their hometowns, that I wasn't going to be able to do ongoing counseling with a woman who'd been abused by her father 35 years ago. I didn't know anything about the counseling in St. Cloud, Minnesota, where she was going home to. So, no, I don't think our primary reason is to be a therapeutic community, but a place of healing and renewal, a place where, a safe place to come if you are a wounded person, a place where you aren't going to be wounded further, a place where you'll hear the gospel. But no, the purpose of the village is not primarily...
I was curious. We have a problem with the family. It really defies a solution, and I would love to go talk to somebody about it, but that's immaterial. I was going to make a very frivolous suggestion, but it's quite serious, so I won't remember that. I will say there were three of us that rode up with the bus driver here, and we had a terrific conversation. That's our only exposure so far. I think we've had a couple of meals, but it was an enjoyable conversation. We talked about everything that was available. You have one good representative, I know.
He's married to another one.
This is the mission statement as it exists now, and I don't know whether it's helpful in answering your question or not, but I thought it might. It's a kind of a complicated organizational structure, because we have a winter community that bonds in quite a substantial way through 9 months of deep snow. And has a unique experience of small community and isolation, and then the village every spring attempts this flowering where that community becomes servant to a summer community of folk who come in, and at the same time we're doubling the number of staff. some who are rotating through in 3-week or 2-week sessions, and then teachers cycling through differently too. So there are at least two different communities going at once, and I think it's been a perennial challenge to find a way to help those communities interact. I know during the years that we worked here in the summer, the staff all sat in that end of the dining hall, and every community meeting, the director was honest about sitting with guests.
I'm serious. It was our, if we'd have been the first timer here, I would have really questioned what was going on here. They heaped their plates and they ate that food. And there were four of us down here that were guests. You know.
Yeah.
What do we do here?
Well, I sat at a table the other day where the entree dish made it halfway around the table, and I thought, how can this be?
Yeah.
How could we sit at a table of eight?
Yeah.
And admittedly, it wasn't a large enough portion to be the first thing out of the kitchen, and that's something we're always trying to hit right on the money too. But I thought, you have to be sort of really thick in the head. hungry in a way that's just oblivious to anyone else, for to take portions that empty the plate before it gets halfway around the table. I appreciate what you said.
Or without getting up and refilling.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe some of it's just, well, I don't know. I was thinking, well, maybe they're just, families just aren't eating together anymore. Maybe people just don't know.
The strange part about this was these were four elderly women.
Oh, well, forget that then.
I mean, it was what my daughter wonderfully calls the elderly hostels.
Yeah, that's what I call it. It's the real world.
And I've been in on the bus too. And realized that I got up at 4 a.m. in Tacoma and was nervous about catching the bus, and I get off the bus and go, phew, we made it, and then I'm really hungry, you know. So it's a complicated trip here, isn't it? And then you try and enter into the place quickly, and it hasn't always been easy for me to enter in because I resist the bells and I resist. I'm mostly introverted, so I resist meeting too many people too fast, you know, and it usually takes me a couple of days before I start to let go and get in the rhythm of the place.
Is that mission statement new now? Or?
No, I think that's about 8 years old.
I think it's excellent.
Can you read it? Can you all read that?
Olden Village, an ecumenical community rooted in Lutheran tradition, is organized to provide healing, renewal, and refreshment of people through worship, intercession, study, hilarity, work, recreation, and conversation in a climate of mutual acceptance under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The purpose of this community is to participate in the renewal of the church and the world by proclaiming the gospel of God's unconditional love in Jesus Christ, challenging and equipping people for ministry in the world, lifting up a vision of God's kingdom of peace, justice, and wholeness, and celebrating the unity and the diversity of the church, all humanity, and all creation.
It's actually a very different mission now. One of the things you're experiencing is the sense that, in fact, I really bristle at the word guest. I mean, I want to call everyone who comes here a member of the community, whether you're here for a week, whether you're here for 3 weeks on volunteer staff, or 2 weeks on teaching staff, or a year on long-term, you know, whether you're paying because you've written a check, or you're paying because you're dedicating 6 hours of work 6 days a week, but you come to be part of a community that sort of is like an organism that just kind of keeps changing. And I agree about the clamor, bussing of the tables at the end. I miss more than anything gathering my little family around my table in the evening and eating and praying. And to give that up for 5 years is probably the biggest sacrifice of my life, so to date. But I think to change to servers, I have a strong feeling I don't want this to become a resort where people come and are simply waited on, you know. I want people to have a sense that they're participating in the ongoing mission of this community. Maybe busing the tables is not the right way to do it, but how else, you know, having people make their own beds.
I remember when the Waitry they were great. And it seems like they were usually real kind of outgoing people. They ran around in their funny little striped aprons and their funny little hat. But they were a lot more visible. I don't know if they did a lot more for us.
You used to hold up an empty plate,
yeah.
And the Waitry would come rushing over,
yeah.
Get the empty plate,
right.
Fill it up, and bring it back. Instead of designating someone from your table to take the empty plate. I don't know.
There were more of them. That's why there were more.
And it seems, in my mind, they were always real friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sort of like the passing the wand from the staff to the guest. And it did have a feeling of more friendliness, I guess.
You don't get, so far, I've not noticed you get a designated person from the table.
No.
You get three people get up with three items.
Whoever finishes the bread goes and gets more bread. Whoever finishes the corn goes and gets more corn.
I don't know if that's a big deal. It's something that it was fun. It was fun to hold it up and then come on over.
Yeah, I like that. I did like that.
And there again, you know, things change and that may not be a big deal for you.
The last time somebody said, boy, don't bring that back.
Is that right?
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know when that changed and why, what the rationale was when it did change.
I think you just didn't have enough bodies.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that
wouldn't
be a huge deal,
but
yeah, I do
remember that. There's some
topic
here.
Kind of
the
elder hospital. Iowans, whatever you want to call them, it is. They were confused by a few meals.
Yeah.
Well, and I personally probably bussed a dozen tables this week just because they didn't quite understand the instructions,
sure.
And so one of them placed it in the restaurant. And I've seen other staff people go over and simply
that's
take
part
people's
of hospitality.
Yeah. Take people's plates.
I told the lady she's going to eat after she put peanut butter in her bowl.
Right. Oh, no.
That doesn't go.
She told me she'd lick it out.
There's two people that haven't said anything that might just say
something. Just a couple things, and I've only been here a couple days. But Meals for me is the opportunity to meet each other. Because and vespers, you see people. But afterwards, everyone disperses. I mean, I don't know where everyone goes after.
Right.
So that's your opportunity. And meals are so, and maybe it's because you have the two seatings and we're changing it single seating. But it feels like it's a race. I mean, it's like, I don't know, I've sat at tables and it's like people grab and it's like there's a sense that there's not enough food and you better get it quick. And I know there's plenty of food. You can go up and get plenty more. And at the end, all this. And then the dish teams are like, I don't know, is there a reason why it's like they're in a race? I mean, it's just, and it's like, and it's half an hour, right? And you're supposed to be out of there. And if you ever had a chance to ever meet anyone, you never have a chance to talk. It's not relaxing. It's not at all conducive to meeting people. And the other thing is, I mean, I'm here for 5 weeks as a volunteer. And I guess I still haven't figured, I thought you came and we were all one community. So in the beginning, I sat with guests, and then I sat with staff, but staff doesn't, they don't talk to you. I've tried to make conversation with staff members, and they don't, they ask your name. And I can't say all people, but some people, when I noticed I was new, said, I don't know how it works here. There's nobody to go to. I don't know who I'm supposed to go to ask questions. I don't know. There's no central point. I mean, the register. I don't know. It's kind of like I feel like I'm sort of lost. I don't know.
One of us is filling in for the staff coordinators for a 2-week period while those folk are taking 10 days out for a family wedding and the end of a hectic summer.
Mm-hmm.
So things are a little more disjointed. I think staff have felt like they had a real good, secure connection. I know I always get a note from them saying when a new staff person is coming in and a little bit about them and please be at the bus to greet them. And
did you have a designated leader when you came? Someone from the staff who met you and helped you?
Yeah.
That system isn't working as it should.
Yeah, I mean, we had the orientation then, you know, for the village, and then you have, and I guess maybe I'm just not picking up on things very well. And someone came and said, this is where you start work. But I don't know.
Yeah. There are pieces of that that can be better. I've noticed with someone who, another piece of defensiveness. I think it's always taken 3 or 4 days to kind of move into this.
Is that it? Okay.
I think, maybe I'm more like Martin too. Like, I need to.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I was just going to say, just give it some time.
Yeah.
You know,
but
maybe 3, 4, 5 days.
But if you're only here for 5 or 6, you don't want half of your time.
Yeah.
You spent it figuring it out.
Ed, can you say something about what's going on in the staff these days? Would you care to characterize? You've been here for a little while this summer, and what it feels like from the point of view of folk who've been on staff for, say, 6 weeks here. Is there a move going on or a sense of something that you could describe?
I think everyone that comes to the village has different expectations. I think that includes both staff and guests. We've had guests come in that felt this was a resort, and they resented having to make their beds, that they were not made daily. There are a lot of others that come in and know what the village is all about, and that doesn't bother them. I think the same thing applies to staff people who come in. Some come in on the short term thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I work a few hours a day, and then I can go hiking in the mountains. I can commune with nature. And suddenly they find out that their 6-hour day is 12 hours, and their 6-day week is 7 days, and they become a little tired. And so, you know, all of these different things coming up against each other in the summer can make it difficult. And where you have a long-term community that's been here for the winter, who have had a little more relaxed time, then suddenly there is the trauma of all of this invasion, which it almost looks like. I have not spent a winter here yet. I've been here in the winter as a guest, but not through the year. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's an exciting time. But in the years we've been coming, I know there have been times when there were personal agendas that were going on, sometimes where the guests were looked at as an intrusion. Now, I apologize for the use of the word guest, but I know that's how they were referred to. So it's just, it changes all the time. Mm-hmm.
Sven or Elizabeth, do you have reflections on, they've been here through 3 winters now?
I think that it's the summertime that's a relaxed time for me. That's when the guests come, you get invigorated by their presence. Or a teaching session to start, sitting there and relax. In the wintertime, with the job I have these small questions. Can this be ready by May 1st? And those questions I ask through January, and that's a lot of pressure. So someone's a little bit
He's overseeing the entire kitchen remodel as our head carpenter, so he's headed into the buzz saw.
Are you the person we need to thank for the beautiful furniture in the hotel rooms?
I had part of one set, but you need to thank somebody who came to Horton who was a bad kid, he said about himself. He went to boarding school here, and then he came back and was on staff, and he met the woman he married, and he has a family, and he felt that Horton needed something for what he had received, so he came back and taught 2 of us carpenters how to build the furniture, and the other carpenter then went on to build 2 more sets after
that. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. we were here a couple months ago in that hotel.
So that's kind of positive.
It's a significant difference.
Well, it's positive there.
Oh, it has changed.
Oh, yeah, that's a positive.
Oh, sure.
Sven was in charge of that.
Sven was in charge of that.
I appreciate that room 12, which is like nice bathroom.
Two bathrooms up there now.
Yeah.
Really nice. And the kids can no longer peek from that one bedroom into the men's shower.
Yeah, did you do that?
No.
D1, these are all these things on one.
Yeah, right. Maybe Elizabeth, do you have anything that you're our hospitality?
Summertime is a real enjoyable time to meet the guests. And for staff to come in once a week, we gather all the new staff. So coming in, they will get to meet each other. So they begin their stay here together, and I think that has been a real joy that we could do that. He also every Sunday has an open house for staff and the guests all summer long, so they can come into a home and see how we live. And we can share a time where we can visit and ask questions. And I think that is a way that we that are here on a longer term can invite everybody. Also, maybe I think that we have to remember that staff get up in the morning. So maybe sometimes we are a little weary, and but we do need to all the time to think about it. Yes.
Could I ask one more? That
can I just say I don't think anyone embodies the spirit of friendliness to me more effectively than Elizabeth does.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a real gift.
Yeah.
And I felt it, obviously 3 years ago when I felt it then already. And she did a lot to make my stay more pleasant. Mm-hmm. And I think this hospitality thing is really, really important. I know you're trying to improve it and do more of it. Boy, that's tough, especially when you're here all summer and you get new people every week. How can you be friendly and try to be friends to, 1,000 people in one summer?
It's one of the questions we had about bringing our girls into the villages. We wondered how many times they could say hello and make friends and then say goodbye.
Yeah.
Without just, without sort of withdrawing behind the walls of the chalet and saying, I can't do it anymore. They've only been here a month like we have, so far so good.
A comment to it, a number of you I think have alluded to the confusion, the noise, the rush of the meals. The difficulty that we face is, one, there are so many sessions that people want to go to, so there is a fixed increment of time for, like, the noon meal. That is generally the largest meal of the day, because the incoming and outgoing overlap, and we have to have two settings because we don't have enough space or dishes. So in that brief period of time, every dish practically in the place has to be washed, the tables wiped down, sanitized, one group moved out, hopefully gently, but in a timely fashion so it can move on. And it is a difficult logistical problem.
Wait till you have your first dish team and they'll understand. Right?
She's in the kitchen.
Oh, you don't have to be on dish
she can watch.
Oh, I bet you.
Oh, the kitchen's choice of music.
Great stuff. The first part of the week when somebody came in.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
They had Glenn Miller on the other day. Whose record is that? Mm-hmm. This young woman said, it's really neat, and his band is still playing. Huh? Yeah, he's still a good orchestra leader.
Oh, geez.
Glenn Miller.
She probably thinks he's Jimmy Stewart, right?
There are some significant generational differences. I don't recognize the words on most of the music that comes out of the kitchen.
With that great pleasure, and all of a sudden, a day or so ago, somebody came with noise. We know when the meal's over.
It's about 28 after, maybe.
Gail hasn't gotten a chance to see what he would do if he was director yet.
Having worked as a maverick, I see a lot of physical plant things that are going to have to be addressed in the near future. You know, I can't even begin to get into some of those things. But we have an aging operation, and that's something I think if I were director, I would start addressing, because you're going to have to look down the line. Some of the things that were mentioned by other individuals, I think we're limited in a lot of ways because we're not a private corporation or a Malibu. The Forest Service pretty much limits what we can do up here. The sound of the generating plant over there, I think they've done a fantastic job from years past, but there's only so much that they'll allow us to do around the creek and so forth. And just kind of an answer to that. One thing I know that my wife would say if she were here, and that would address the staff homogeneity. And she thinks that having an early Bible study and allowing staff to attend that would be very critical in keeping staff together and allowing them to talk if they need someone to talk to. I know that every time she's come up here, she's acted as a counselor with someone on staff, because they find out she's a pastor and she is on staff, and they kind of grow with her. But if Bible studies were designated as staff Bible studies and staff allowed to go to them, she thinks that a lot would...
Earlier than 7:45?
No. She doesn't
She doesn't like it.
You know, she doesn't care for it. In the past, it was her opinion that the early Bible study was for staff.
It was originated so that people could go to Bible study before they needed to go to work
at
8:30.
Right.
And then what happened is complaints from guests saying, why do the staff have separate Bible study? Why can't we go to that? And so we said, okay, sure, it's all open to everybody. So there still are staff people at the early morning Bible study, like Sven and Elizabeth. But there are also non-staff people, so it doesn't become a place where staff can.
It's not a separate.
So there's always that balance of how do you tend to the staff without separating them off and saying, well, here's a special thing just for them. And I think that's the tension.
That's real important, too, I think, to let staff know that they should tell whoever they work for that they want to attend Bible study or certain sessions, and just have their work around it. But I know I'm up here on a vacation. I'm just doing it because I'm up here. I'm working as a maverick. But I still put in my 6 hours, but I'll say I'm going at 9 o'clock to the Bible study, and they're very open to that. But the staff has to realize that they're allowed to do that. And some of the people I've talked to didn't really feel that they were allowed to do that. Maybe somehow get that across to them.
That's good.
There were some that can't.
And there's some that can't. And so there's, you know, maybe an evening Bible study. One in the morning or an evening, something like that. But I know that's one thing that she would have mentioned if she were here. She's preparing for 2 hours now.
And we did get a written comment saying, I didn't come 800 miles to go to a Bible study. So that isn't why everybody comes.
Right.
Unsigned, of course.
Unsigned. And about the windows, I had that same feeling sometimes, especially in these rooms where I know the view. But we are obligated to keep the buildings that were here on the exterior looking as they look during the mining days. We're on leased land. We don't own this land. The Forest Service does. And we're on a 20-year renewable, we hope, lease. We're halfway through this 20-year lease. So in essence, the buildings are ours, but they're also protected almost like an historical site. So So we don't have the freedom to make and to get building permits to change things. And Sven could tell you a lot about that in a private conversation, how he was able to remodel Chalet 7 to make it energy efficient and to make a living space for two separate groups without altering how it looked, so that this still looks like it did when it was built. So it's very...